How's it going and welcome to episode 265 of On The Wire, proud member of the Pictureless Podcast Network. I am Adam Howe, joined as always by Kevin Hastings. Kevin, thank you so much for getting everything in order. I think I felt like we both had, joking aside, we had some technical difficulties. We're getting a little later start on a Friday evening, which is still early when it comes to what we have to talk about. When we first got on, I'm like, oh, he can't hear me. Nothing's working on my side, because I realized afterwards when I was editing last week's episode, I'm pretty sure I used the wrong mic the entire episode. So I sounded like,
and I've always been so great at catching that. wasn't the first time that's happened. I don't catch it.
Right. And we spent a good 15 minutes trying to make sure you didn't sound like you were in a tunnel for this. And right. I think we're good. I think we're in a good spot. How you doing?
All set. How are you doing this week, Adam? I'm going to ask you before you ask me.
I'm doing good. I have one of the reasons we are recording today instead of Saturday is I have a really busy Saturday. And I told you this like 2 weeks ago. I'm like, oh, I might be late to recording because I have my softball league's tournament, all-day tournament thing is on that Saturday. It's been rained out twice. They keep pushing it back. And it's like the day is beautiful, but it rains. It torrential downpours like the day before or 2 days before. So the fields are just completely soaked and there's no way that they could fix them in time for us to not completely destroy them.
Right.
All day softball, like slow pitch softball tournament. So finally get to do that tomorrow. So that'll be fun. It's one of those all like things happen at the same time with kids. Like my daughter's got a birthday party. My son's got swimming lessons. I've got my thing. Yeah. We've got all the stuff happening all at once. Sundays, we're not going to know what to do with ourselves because we have absolutely nothing planned.
Those are the best.
Well, it's Sunday, so we know what we're doing on Sunday, right? And I have no excuse. If I don't put any fab bids in, I'm going to get lots of hate mail from my league mates. But so that won't happen. Plenty of time. yeah. Well, you know, you're back at home. That's awesome. Any kind of semblance of a normal schedule for you?
I've been taking my daughter to and picking her up from school. She is doing the driving on those trips now. Okay. She got her learner's permit a couple of weeks ago. And I think it's different everywhere than it was when I was getting a driver's license. But here you have to log a certain number of driving hours.
Sure.
So we're working on that. But yeah, she's doing great. We're doing great. We only have 4 weeks of regular season baseball left, right. Adam, which means including this run, we only have 4 fab Sundays remaining, including this week.
That's how did we get here? It's what I asked.
I really have no idea. It's been I think we blinked and we're here.
Not to be the Debbie Downer of this conversation here, but let's savor all 4 weeks as much as we can in all 4 fab periods, because we are not guaranteed another one after this, at least not for some time. Until, you know, with all the propaganda, with all the hoopla that's going out right now, especially from the owner's side, from the league. I was joking with my league mates because in my dynasty league, we tend to make a lot of rules that try to mimic real life as much as possible. Like our trade deadline is right after the major league trade deadline. Our roster sizes are 26 man. Like we try to do a lot of things, but we have this one rule where there's a second trade period after the trade deadline, about 2 weeks later, right before playoffs, we open up a weekend for, you know, hey, if you weren't sure if you were going to be if you're going to make the playoffs before, now you know. Now you should sell. You get 3 days to do it. So we call it the second chance trade period. And now with the supposed proposal from the owners of creating the the two windows of free agency, basically. Like, you have to sign within you can't sign until the winter meeting, and then you have to sign basically during the winter meeting, and then you can't sign again until February. I'm like, wow, this is the first time I think Major League Baseball is trying to mimic our fantasy
league. Your league was ahead of its time.
Yeah, right. Oh man. I mean, as fun as that period where we had that little like signing period after the last stoppage, as exciting as that was, I do not want that.
No.
Like,
reason the other leagues we see that and it's so short is because they have their salary caps. The players are fighting over each other's money. That's why they go out and sign so quickly in that short period. So the owners are getting what they want. If that's just a backdoor way into a salary cap that we know the players do not.
Right. And it's like, yeah, there's only so much money to go around. Let's get it as soon as possible. No, thank you.
On that note, really quickly, I've commented on this on some social media posts. People already saying, if there's a lockout, I hate baseball. No, it's not baseball you hate. It's Major League Baseball. Find another league. Baseball's amazing.
There we go. Exactly. All right. Well, we still have baseball. Let's savor the news that we are getting in and get right into, because there's surprisingly quite a bit of lines on here on this outline that we need to get to. Let's go all the way back to last weekend, something we missed or something that came in after we had recorded. With the Angels, they lose Nolan Schanuel, who hits the IL with an intercostal injury. They replace him with Christian Moore, calling him back up. A lot of hype around Christian Moore coming up when he originally came up, kind of faltered, couldn't really find his footing. There was a lot of talk about him at the beginning of the season, because in the offseason, he was going to play second base, then he was going to play third base, and where's he going to do? Didn't really do much. Obviously, he was just down, and they called him back up. What have you seen out of Christian Moore in the Angels over the course of the last week, and how do you expect him to play the rest of the way?
Well, he's striking out at almost 40% rate, which has been our worry with him. That's been the issue with him since we've been seeing him in short stints over the past couple of seasons. However, until we get Schanuel back, and he has been participating in some activities this week, so it may be fairly soon, but until then, Christian Moore has started at second base every single day as Vaughn Grissom moved over to first base in Shanwell's spot. So, complete opposite profile as Shanwell, yes, as far as getting on base and hitting for average, but he does have power. He's only got two hits in these six games, but one was a double, the other a home run. I just don't think the average will be, I don't think it will be acceptable, even if you have a nice cushion or have room that you can fall, your average can fall and you don't lose many, if any, points. It's just going to be too bad of a batting average, unfortunately. And with Schanuel already participating in activities, we could see him back here in another 4 days.
Yeah, fair enough. Angels also got back Wade Meckler, playing left field. They were without him for pretty majority of the week, heading into the weekend and into this week. Did start in left field, on Friday, batting third, which is a little lower than he had been leading up to the injury, but, they do get him back as well. So some additions, or additions by subtraction for some reasons.
It'll be interesting to see what happens when they face a lefty with Meckler back. But Jose Siri most definitely is going to lose his playing time versus righties. Mm-hmm.
Like I said, Meckler had been leading off against righties. Zach Neto pretty much leading off every day during the injury. Do you expect that to swap back, or do you think Neto just runs with it?
Neto's been running pretty well recently, and they went ahead and did put Meckler in the three spot on Friday. So, I think that the lineup we saw Friday, and I would guess that we should see Saturday's by now. But Oh, no, it is Friday. I forgot we're recording on Friday. I was looking for Saturday's lineup. Yeah.
Sometimes the Angels will put out an early lineup. I don't know about that early.
Yeah, this seems like what they will do, in my opinion. They're not going to use Adam Frazier as often. Jose Siri probably only against lefties now. And Oswald Peraza, the few at bats he was getting, are in even more jeopardy at this point. Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll stay in the American League, but we'll head over to Minnesota, where they made a call-up of their own, this time a MLB debut, with Walker Jenkins being called up, making his debut, starting in center field, batting ninth on Friday for the Twins. The Twins do DFA Woosuk Go instead, to make room for Jenkins. It was nice to see him get the call up and start in center field. Obviously, we saw Byron Buxton nursing an injury. Shocking, I know. But, you know, Byron Buxton obviously has been very productive overall, minus the most recent injury, couple of injury stints he just had, and then this one that he's nursing at the moment. What kind of run can we hope to see from Jenkins the rest of the way?
This really depends on Byron Buxton, and the injury that has kept him out of the last two games, with an off day in between them as well, is the same hip that he has spent time on the IL twice for this season. So I am inclined to believe, when I was updating lineups for this weekend, I don't have Byron Buxton playing at all this weekend. And I do expect that he probably ends up on the IL, and therefore we'll see Walker Jenkins just run with the center field job. If not, they can get him in versus lefties in Trevor Larnach's spot. In the outfield, Cody Clemens won't have to move to the outfield. He can stay at second base. But Luke Keyshaw has been the everyday leadoff hitter for a couple of weeks now. So the only way he gets everyday at-bats, in my opinion, is if Buxton goes on the IL, but I do expect that to happen.
There could be extra days if he doesn't go on the IL, Buxton that is, and he instead plays a couple extra days at DH and doesn't play the outfield.
Yeah, Josh Bell could lose some time to let the young guy get at-bats. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Josh Bell been DHing pretty much the entire season for the Twins. And pretty much every day, though. Not overall, throughout the course of the season, doing quite well in that position. Not as much as of recent. And depending on where the Twins kind of sit in their fight for the American League Central, which is literally anybody's game at this point, even with the White Sox playing as well as they had been, we could see the Twins making very different decisions based on where they are in those standings.
He needs three home runs, Josh Bell, this last 4 weeks to end up with 20 home runs, over 70 runs, over 70 RBI, actually over 80 RBI. And that batting average at .253. The player we say, that's who Josh Bell is. He's done it again.
We knew who he was. And he's just been very consistent. Good for him. Going over to the National League now, we'll go stay in the Central, but go to Cincinnati. They lose Cabrian Hayes to the IL with a groin strain. But they do bring back Edwin Arroyo, who had been sent down, I believe, right near the trade deadline or right after the trade deadline. Can Arroyo kind of just find his footing somewhere in the infield, or is it just going to be, fill in wherever you can?
This is kind of iffy in my mind. I can see Arroyo, who is not in the lineup on Friday after being called up, by the way. Yeah. And he is a switch hitter. So they are facing the lefty on Friday, but he was not in the lineup. I tend to think that obviously Ellie De La Cruz, Sal Stewart are manning the left side of the infield, but both Matt McClain has struggled this season at second base. That's Edwin Arroyo's primary position. And Eugenio Suarez, they tried to release, but nobody would pick him up to pick up that money that they would save. So he's right back in their lineup. So he likes to DH many days, and then that he could be open there as well. So there are a couple of ways that Arroyo could find some at-bats. It would mean Suarez and McClain losing some, but unless that happens, I don't think there's much playing time here.
Yeah, and I mean, Arroyo, when he was up, who did get sent down before the trade deadline, was exclusively playing second base. Even when Ellie was hurt, Arroyo came up and had like one or two starts at shortstop, but he was pretty much exclusively at second base. I'm not sure, you know, he moves over to third base just because there's an opening with Hayes going on the IL. So there would have to be some movement. As you mentioned, Steer obviously pretty much playing every day at first base. And obviously Ellie's not coming off of shortstop. So unless they move Suarez to like
McLean's on a 1-year deal, they could try with him what they tried with Suarez still. As long as the team picks him up by September 1st, they would be available for their postseason rosters. So they may try it with McClain if they think Arroyo could run with it the rest of the season to get him some reps. Mm-hmm. Because, they're behind too many for the wild card at 8 games back.
Yeah, they paired Suarez with TJ Friedl on waivers, and neither one of them were claimed up. So we'll have to see if there's anybody else worth throwing that. We are getting to that point where, you know, like you said, as long as they claim them before the first, they would be playoff eligible. I'm a little surprised nobody grabbed Suarez. I know he's owed a lot of money, but
I am as well. I can understand Friedl, but
money.
Suarez would be a nice bat to have on your bench in the postseason, I feel like.
Absolutely. All right. So, I kept thinking that Suarez was going to be a target of my Red Sox. But then they went out and traded for Curtis Meade. You know, obviously we know who that. So they have him in the wings. Instead of getting him back though soon, they are expecting to get back Roman Anthony and Trevor Story possibly as early as Sunday. Garrett Whitlock is expected to be activated for the doubleheader as well. So my Red Sox are getting some added pieces with Anthony and Story entering the lineup. Is there anybody that you're currently rostering for my Red Sox that you're just expecting to either be dropping due to playing time, or I don't think we see either one of these guys, Anthony or Story, come in and ease themselves out. I think they're back in and they're playing pretty much every day. Maybe they get a random off to here or there, but they're not going to, I don't think they're in there to have kids gloves. So I expect multiple players at least two players to lose a bunch of playing time. Who are you expecting that to be?
I think it could just be easily the guys that have been covering those positions for the last few days, even though Nick Sogard has been leading off. Two home runs, no stolen bases. He hasn't done much. He gets on base, so he's out there scoring a few runs, but he hasn't done anything spectacular at 28 years old. And then Anthony Siegler, who's been up and down all year. I keep wanting him to be a stolen base guy. Every time he gets the playing time, it goes away. And I think Roman Anthony's just taken his spot back as well. The one thing I am slightly concerned about, Mickey Gasper all of a sudden is the best power hitter in the league, including Tristan Peters. And I hope he's not the one to lose at bats because he's one of my big power targets this week.
Yeah, I mean, Gasper's the one I'm worried about the most, especially as the last man up, first man out type of scenario, as he was just called up 2 weeks ago or so. And like you said, just kind of demolishing, like only Peters in with the White Sox, Tristan Peters is doing anything more than Gasper's been doing. So there's don't know, a lot to be worried about in that situation, especially since all he's been doing is DHing, right? He started at DH in all except for two games against the, actually against a lefty and a righty, since getting the call up on the 16th. So yeah, I would expect Gasper to be the one that gets, that loses the most amount of playing time in this situation. I expect Sogard to find his way, maybe even into a bench spot, but I don't, he's going to be the one that I think loses the least amount of playing time. I think he continues to find his way into the lineup with his position eligibility that he has across the board. And the Sox have been doing that with Sogard for a while now, calling him up, keeping him at the bench, filling in wherever you needed, kind of Ezekiel Duran.
He has started at every infield position in just the last five games.
Exactly. But anyway, yeah, make note, if you've been stashing Anthony or Story, you can get him probably safely into your lineups starting next week. The Yankees going, you know, across the rivalry here, they are getting a reinforcement of their own in Max Fried, who's expected to start one of the Saturday doubleheader games for the Yankees. Earlier in the week, though, they lost pitcher Fernando Cruz to the IL with right elbow discomfort. They optioned Bradley Haner as well, but they recalled Elmer Rodriguez, who had been spot starting for them a bit as well. But with Fried expected to come back and obviously enter the rotation, I don't know how far he's going to go into whichever Saturday game he plays, but I do expect him to be, you know, obviously a mainstay of the rotation from here on out, pending any other injuries. But what kind of role are you expecting out of Elmer Rodriguez with his call up?
I expect him to get the start on Monday at Los Angeles Anaheim. And then, as you said, that line's Fried and Will Warren up next weekend. Warren is the one that people have talked about. Maybe he's an odd man out, but then they had an opening and Elmer Rodriguez is there now. I don't think they would kick Warren out of the rotation for Elmer Rodriguez, but he could do a lot on Monday to help his cause. But yeah, I think with Fried back, this is probably a one start for Elmer Rodriguez, or the second one that he gets on Monday, and with him we'll see Fried back next weekend as well.
Yeah, of course the Yankees just lost Ryan Weathers to a strained forearm as well to the IL, so that, you know, a lot of musical chairs happening right now. Luckily, well, as a Red Sox fan, I probably shouldn't say luckily, but luckily for the Yankees, they have enough depth in that. I mean, Elmer Rodriguez is pretty much the one guy that they have to come up, and he's been doing it pretty much all season, calling him up for spot starts here or there. So I'm not going to be terribly surprised if this is a one and done. But maybe he sticks around for the rest of the regular season as the long man, and so he's already up. We'll see. I mean, obviously, they still have some other pieces in their bullpen that they can that can go more than, you know, a full inning in their appearances. But Rodriguez might be somebody that they want to stick around for that. The Cubs bring back Matt Shaw. How does he kind of fit into their lineup now that he's back with the Cubs?
I think he's going to be a short side platoon outfielder for Ian Happ. He could take some Michael Conforto playing time away, but Michael Conforto hasn't been great, but he's been okay. He's been better than he has been the last couple of seasons. He's doing exactly what Chicago needs him to do. So Matt Shaw could get some of those at-bats because they can move anybody into the DH position, and Matt Shaw can play about any position. But the only thing he's guaranteed in my mind is that he'll be in the outfield versus lefties.
Yeah, he didn't. Of course, they started against the righty today on Friday. Shaw not in the starting lineup there upon his return. So at least the one-day sample size leads you to believe exactly what you just said. So probably not enough playing time to be of interest beyond an NL only 15 teamer at this point. All right. Well, we got a couple more returns, a couple, unfortunately, more IL stints, and we will get to all of that after this first break. All right. I said that there are more IL stints, so I'll start with this one. With the Dodgers, Roky Sasaki hits the IL with a blister issue. They bring up Seth Halverson to replace him on the roster, but Dave Roberts mentioned that Eric Lauer would be the one to replace Sasaki in the rotation. Lauer, obviously acquired by the Dodgers toward the deadline and started off in their rotation, was kind of the first man back into the bullpen, and now first man kind of back into the situation once a hole was created. Interest in Lauer, and how long do you think, do you expect, I mean, honestly, do you think there's anything Lauer could do to hold on to the rotation spot even after Sasaki comes back?
I don't think he would hold on to the rotation spot, no. But I do like him for this coming week. He is set to face a nice lineup in Washington, but they have been mid-pack and a very high strikeout rate versus lefties recently. So I would be okay with Lauer in that spot. But my big hope for Lauer after he was demoted was that he would be the follower of Shohei Ohtani, who we're going to see on Tuesday. And I highly doubt he goes five innings.
Sure.
So there is an opportunity here when we're chasing wins. Or is it going to be, who's it going to be following Ohtani on Tuesday? That's what we got to figure out, Adam.
Yeah. I mean, sure. At least, you know, Roster Resource expects Lauer to be taking the ball on Tuesday, and if it ends up being following Ohtani, that's obviously the best case scenario, because Lauer doesn't need to go five either. Like, he will do his best work if he knows he can just put it all out on the line for three or four innings, and if he's coming in the fourth inning and going to the seventh or eighth inning, amazing, great, obviously, and just, you know, hopefully Tanner Scott cannot blow it at the end, which he has been doing lately, unfortunately.
You know, the Dodgers are going to stick with this six-man rotation, even if it includes bullpen days. Sure. But do you think they would let Lauer follow Ohtani on Tuesday and then start on Sunday with 4 days rest?
That would be the loophole, right?
That's that's the way it appears to be. It could be lining up, in which case I am 100% want Lauer in my lineup this week.
Oh, absolutely. If there's a possibility of that happening, and again, that's the only way that that works out in that six man rotation, is if they follow her, or if it's a piggyback situation rather than a true follower, Ohtani can still go, say, two innings, maybe even three innings if he's super efficient. And Lauer doesn't need to go four or five. He can go three innings himself, four innings at max. That sets him up to still be on basically full rest if he only throws, say, like 60 pitches in that time frame to go on Sunday. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely worth the gamble for sure, especially with those matchups as well. The Seattle Mariners, speaking of piggybacks, didn't really last that long doing their little piggyback experiment. They are instead now moving Bryce Miller to the bullpen. Obviously, with Cade Anderson in the mix for the Mariners in that rotation, what other impact do you expect to see out of now? They also said, I should also preface this, they also said that this is not a permanent move, but it is a move that they are making for the near term. What are you doing with Bryce Miller? And is there any other situations with the Seattle rotation that you're keeping an eye on?
Seattle is one of the teams that has successfully stuck with a six-man rotation for a long period of time this season, but with Bryce Miller's struggles, I think they're willing to go to a five at this point. I think that's what we're going to see. Is this is a really good pitching staff with Cade Anderson in the mix now. So I did hear Ryan Bloomfield, who is a big Seattle Mariners fan, bring up the slight possibility that if Miller continues to struggle in the bullpen, a couple of the other starters have struggled more than they typically do recently, that he's not on the 40-man roster, but Ryan Sloan would be the most talented that they may end up needing. They had a 6-man rotation all season long. Now, even with Kate Anderson, it's only a 5. If they need someone else, Ryan Sloan is probably the one to keep an eye on. I agree with Ryan.
Yeah, that's definitely the name that everybody is kind of clamoring for. If you're in the Pitcherless Discord, if you're just following the Mariners,
we talked about him earlier this season, even before Anderson came up, I believe.
Yeah, it was like it was definitely a possibility that Sloan would get the call, at least in my mind, that Sloan would get the call before Anderson would, just because that seems like something the Mariners would have or could have done. Obviously, that didn't happen, but I'm not putting it past them, especially now he would have to be on the 40-man roster before the first to qualify for playoffs. Am I right on that? Is that similar?
I believe so. I could be wrong, but I believe so.
So, and he couldn't be one of the could he be one of the expanded roster spots as well?
He just wouldn't be eligible for postseason, I think, unless someone goes on the IL.
That's true. That's the exception there, right?
That's the catch on. That's the catch that can get guys in there. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, the Mariners still have a chance at winning that division. I joked about the American League Central being kind of a crapshoot or being up for grabs. The AL West is even more of a crapshoot. I was looking at the stand.
Yeah, it's the closest division race we have.
And not only is it the closest, it's just I hate the fact that I'm looking at the standings in the American League and I'm realizing, oh, whoever wins the West should be the 6th seed. But instead, they're going to host the wild card round against a much better, or at least a better record of a team. And I understand they're a division winner. Those are the rules. That's fine. But it is kind of unfortunate that that's just how it's going to work out as far as how the seedings go for the first round of the playoffs.
And if the Blue Jays or Orioles get anything turned around at all, we could very easily see 4 teams out of the East.
Yeah, it's true.
We got 3 locked in, basically.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that. I'm hoping there's a. I'm of also the opinion I miss the days where you weren't allowed to play your division rival until the championship series. And now obviously you can play them in the wild card round. You can play them in the divisional round, whatever. Just there's no rule about that. But you know, if the Red Sox are going to play the Yankees in the wild card round, I'm hoping all 3 games or only 2 games are in Boston and not in New York. So, still the American League East can still swap hands as well. That's still in play. But at the very least, just hoping for now. My Red Sox lost today, so they're back another game. But got a doubleheader tomorrow, another game on Sunday, so big series. The San Francisco Giants lose Adrian Hauser to the IL with a right forearm strain, and they bring it up Braxton Roxby to fill in on the roster. They also lost Carson Wisenhunt recently, and he got a recommendation of surgery after finding a tear in his UCL. There's more San Francisco injury news, but let's stick with their pitching for now, Kevin. Any thoughts on Roxby and or just the hole that Hauser might leave?
No, I think Roxbury will be in the bullpen, and it wouldn't be considered a full bullpen day, but I think Wilkinson gets the start in Hauser's spot. And, you know, he went 3 2/3 his last outing. So he could go 4 or 5, but I think it's going to be kind of a a modified bullpen day. Well, they hope he might get to five, but if it's only three or four, they're going to be prepared for that. But I think it'll be Wilkinson that gets the nod.
Yeah, that's probably fair. And I mean, I don't know. Whatever San Francisco is doing right now, I'm not sure.
Then this is already with Blade Tidwell starting for them and
I mean, ultimately, the only things that are set in stone are Webb, Roop, and Tidwell. Anthony Molina is slotted in there as well, but
they have a doubleheader next Saturday.
Next Saturday or tomorrow?
Oh, that's tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. That whole situation, we talked about it last week, is very confusing.
Yeah.
So keep an eye on your weekend lineups for those in daily moves leagues that might be listening to this. You may need to take out your Giants and your Diamondbacks
on
your Sunday rosters because they probably don't have a game. The other piece of news with the Giants is Willy Adames is also injured with a moderate UCL sprain. He's awaiting a second opinion. I have not seen said second opinion come through, but he did officially hit the IL the other day. Does his absence open the door for anybody to take extra playing time on the offensive side for the Giants?
Yeah, skipping way ahead on the outline, Adam, this was my wild card for the week. And Shea Whitcomb has come up and played third base every single game. Righties, lefties, they've had multiple games against both. He's hitting 132 in 40 plate appearances so far. But he does have three home runs on the season at the major league level in those 40 plate appearances. Those were with Houston. He stole bases with Houston in the minor leagues, but has not had a stolen base attempt since he's come over to the Giants organization at AAA or the major league level. So I don't think he can steal bases. 41% strikeout rate isn't going to cut it, but if he can get that down to the 30% range, he does have enough power that he could be interesting. Absolutely, just keep an eye on him for this next week. But it does appear he is the everyday third baseman in San Francisco for the foreseeable future, depending on the outcome of those second opinions for Willy Adames.
Yeah, Christian Koss had been playing third base most every day with obviously Matt Chapman continuing to be out for the Giants. He moves over to shortstop with Adames hitting the IL. So he'll continue to play every day at that position. For the time being, at least, we'll see if we see Adames back at any point this season. But I won't be surprised if he's just, you know, sits the remainder of the season out as well. Slight bullpen news in not so shocking fashion. Pete Fairbanks hits the IL for Miami. They recalled Dax Fulton to take his place. Miami still technically in the hunt here. So are we curious about anybody in the bullpen to take over closing duties for Fairbanks while he's out?
Yes. Roster Resource has three closers listed. I think Rick Graham at Pitcher List has, Calvin Fauché, with about, I can't remember if he had it 40 or 50%. Of the save opportunities, but definitely the leading guy. And I do think that will be the case. We haven't seen a save since last Saturday for Miami. And that was Fauché that got that save. So Calvin Fauché is one of the few pitchers available that I think may be getting a majority of the save chances going forward.
Yeah, well, I didn't mean to take any subject matter away from that section of the outline, but I think you might be right. That might be just the name. Just two more pieces here. Toronto loses Shane Bieber with a right teres major inflammation. I have not seen like a replacement for him in the rotation. Do you have anybody in mind, or are you eyeballing anybody of expectation?
I think they'll get Jameson Taillon back this week. That should help. That should take care of it.
Whether it'll help or
RotoWire has him slotted in on Thursday, so that will take care of it for him.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, like I said, if I don't know if it'll help, but it will take the place. We'll see what kind of matchups he lines up for upon his return. That is Jameson Taillon. But with the off day on Monday, they might not need to push him into the rotation right away, but we'll see. The last piece here is St. Louis. They lose Mason Wynn to the IL, and they call back up Nolan Gorman to take his place. Does he take his place as a one-for-one, and is there anything to like out of Gorman at this point?
Well, the problem with Nolan Gorman is that Ramon Urias came off the IL as well. Nolan Gorman should get the third base starts versus at least righties, but Ramon Urias may take those away versus lefties, or they can put him at second base and slide Jose Fermin over. This really solidifies Jose Fermin's playing time, in my opinion, on the infield. But I do think Gorman gets a majority of these plate appearances, but he may sit versus lefties.
Yeah, it seemed like a one-off, but Fermin did get the nod at the top of the lineup on Thursday against the lefty, starting at shortstop and batting in the leadoff spot. So obviously he has a little bit more preference against lefties, as when his playing time was minimized, he was on that short side of the platoon as well. So just to say, if Fermin's playing time is justified and consistent, at least also when he's playing lefties, he should get a better spot in the lineup moving forward as well. All right. Well, there's plenty of news. One thing that just kind of came through is just if you're holding out hope that Juan Soto is going to be back soon, he has at least said that he does not think he'll need a rehab stint and he should be back with the Mets. Maybe even by the time you're listening to this podcast. So that's, at least we'll leave it on a more positive note here. As we head into one more break before we come back and start talking about players to fill in those gaps in all the different categories that you might be searching for. We'll be right back. All right, Kevin, we'll jump right into our power categories here. Home runs, RBI, you got a name on here that I already teased a little bit earlier, so why don't you hit the ground running with Tristan Peters.
Yeah, Tristan Peters, we all know what he's done this week, and absolutely that will be his best week, maybe of his career,
right?
Definitely of this season. But he had been playable prior to this, and more than playable. He had been productive. 82% rostered in 15 team main events, but only 9% in 12. So he is available out there in most 12 team leagues. If you need some power, the White Sox just keep winning games. And as hard as it is for me as a Royals fan to root for the White Sox ever since, it had to have been 25 years ago now when the Royals first base coach was attacked by fans in the middle of the game. I still hold that against the White Sox, but I love Mike Carter, so I am rooting for them down the stretch here. We talked about Mickey Gaspard. He's only 43% rostered in main events. I did expect that to skyrocket this weekend, but as we talked, some of his playing time may be in danger. So monitor that on Saturday and Sunday before you put a bid amount in on Mickey Gaspard Sunday evening. Hector Rodriguez got a little bit of a slow start when he got the call for Cincinnati, but he has picked it up with a couple of home runs in recent days. 53% rostered in 15s, only 9% in 12s. All three of these guys only 9% in 12s, and I would put them in the order in 12-team leagues that we mentioned them. I would go Peters, Gasper, Rodriguez.
Nice. The name that was,
unless we see Gasper missing time Saturday and Sunday, then I'd bump Rodriguez in front.
Yeah. I mean, Yeah, we're about. I don't. You might not know until Sunday, and then it's just a one game sample, and you're not quite sure what's going to happen throughout the course of the week. I am worried about the Gasper situation, as we talked about earlier. PLBot, I feel like Andres Chaparro was near the top of the PLBot power rankings last week as well. And I don't think I brought him up just because I was worried about the playing time.
We did talk about him a little bit, though. Yeah.
Yeah, and so he's right. He's at the top of the projected home runs for next week as well. But again, I still worry about the playing time. But if he's showing enough power where he's going to get, you know, 5 out of 7 games for the Nationals next week, he can still get to, sorry, out of six. He's got expected 6 games for next week. There's still some power that can be useful in that situation. 42% roster and 15 teamers, so almost half of the main event leagues out there are hoping for the same thing currently. And then as a C2 option, Sean Murphy's getting a little bit more regular playing time as a C2 for Atlanta. And, you know, while he's healthy, he's showing a little bit more. So he is the top ranked expected catcher next to Drew Romo is also one of the catchers that PLBot likes for next week with the White Sox. Not sure how much I'm buying into that situation, but if you are rotating in and out your C2 in your two catcher leagues, a couple of names to at least consider. I think I'm just excited. I have one league where I'm doing this regularly. And I'm failing miserably at it where I'm just like, all right, I need the hot hand at the catcher in my C2 spot. I'm going to put somebody in. Maybe they're good for a week or two. And then all of a sudden they drop off a cliff and I'm like, all right, I'm going to doing this all over again. It's a terrible practice, but sometimes you have to do it. So some names to consider if you're in a situation like I am.
I have a couple of leagues like that as well.
I
have a league where I'm actually rostering. I realized and this is horrible. I'm actually rostering 4 catchers.
Okay.
I had Will Smith go on the IL.
Sure.
So he was on my bench. And then I picked up Flores for Pittsburgh, but I didn't drop a catcher because he's catcher eligible, but he's been playing first base and DH. And so when I realized I have 4 catchers on this team, that was ridiculous.
And one of them's Will Smith. I get it. I get the situation.
Yeah. The great thing about Chaparro, Washington has not faced a left-handed starting pitcher since August 15th, and they are set to face 3 out of 6 this week. So Chaparro absolutely 100% will start in those 3 games versus lefties. And he, earlier in the year, it's been a couple weeks since they faced one, he hit 2nd versus lefties. So that's 3 games we expect him to be in the lineup. And he has played in over half of the games versus righties over those past 2 weeks. If that continues, the 4 to 5 appearances that you are saying we need or hope to see out of Chaparro, I think are a given. I think we're going to see that.
Nice. And if you're like me too, and you might be playing in your first round of your playoffs, you care about next week in those playoff matchups. All right. Got some power options in there. Now let's get some speed, Kevin. We need some stolen bases. Words are fun. And some runs scored. Who are you targeting for those categories?
Well, Jacob Young is nearly universally rostered in 15s. And earlier this season, he wasn't really running like we typically expect him. And he was hitting for some power a little more than he usually does. He's never really been a zero, but he was rolling pretty good there for a little while in the power department. Now, over the past couple of weeks, he's back to stealing bases. 98% in those 15-team main events, but only 33% in the 12-team online championships. And then I'm going right back to Tyler Tolbert from last week. He is getting in the game as a pinch runner for Kansas City now, and he hadn't previously. He would come in as a defensive replacement, but not typically as a pinch runner. He did on Friday evening, and then didn't get a chance to steal a base because he was knocked in by a home run. But He will start versus lefties. Royals 6 out of 7 righties this week. He'll probably get a couple of starts versus righties. Remember, I said last week I was picking him up just for this weekend, but I will hold on to him in that league, even though the Royals are set to face a bunch of righties next week, because he'll get into a couple of those games. And he nearly attempts a stolen base every time he gets on if there's not somebody in front of him.
That is, he is the top of PLBot's rankings for projected stolen bases, even with the limited playing time. And so, as you mentioned, you know, we can always find value in those guys that are still getting put into the game as a pinch runner. And that's what you need. Then that's what you should be targeting. As simple as that.
I am so upset with what the Royals are doing. I thought that Tolbert was going to get the second base opportunities because Massey went on the IL this week, but they called up Josh Rojas and put him at third and moved Nick Lofton over to second, unfortunately. But Josh Rojas, Tyler Tolbert is a better hitter than Josh Rojas, in my opinion, not just better on the bases. So that may not stick.
That's it. When you
but
have
unfortunately,
the
that's what they're up. Doing so far.
when you have the opportunity of adding Josh Rojas, you have to do it at this stage, right? Another player who is getting regular playing time in San Francisco caught my eye as well. Turner Hill has been starting every day for the Giants basically since Adames was hurt as well. So with some other players moving around, it seems to have given Turner Hill more at least regularity in the lineup. And
he's been Barracuda's replacement in left field.
There we go. Yeah, he's been playing every day in left field for the Giants. Stole 24 bases in the minors throughout the course of the year. Has one stolen base so far with his limited time with the Giants so far. So as long as he continues having regular playing time, he'll at least get opportunities, and hopefully he can turn those into a couple stolen bases throughout the course of the next week as well. So that's Turner Hill, readily available 0% across the board in all leagues. All right. With that, we've got some opportunities ahead of us. Let's talk about the schedule. This is something to keep in mind. Again, I am going to say this again for the rest of the regular season. I will be harping on this. Head-to-head playoffs are important, as well as getting these categories in for your roto leagues at the end of the season. So the schedule plays a big role, especially when you're trying to maximize as many at bats in a weekly matchup as you can. So keep note that Detroit and Cleveland do have a doubleheader on Friday. So they have 3 games in the first half of the week, 4 games over the weekend, which is obviously pretty rare in general on those bi-weekly lineup changes. There are a lot of teams with 7 games, including Baltimore, Boston, Tampa Bay, the White Sox, Cleveland, Detroit with that doubleheader. Athletics, Houston, Seattle, Texas, Miami, the Cubs, Milwaukee, and San Francisco all play 7 games. Nobody has 5, so everybody else has just the 6. Colorado will be at home all week hosting Baltimore and St. Louis. Cincinnati, same. They'll be hosting San Diego and Milwaukee. Each of those are 3-game series. In the Athletics, though they do have 7-game work week ahead of them, they will take all 7 of those games on the road, 3 at Texas and 4 at Seattle, leaving West Sacramento for the Rivercats to play whatever schedule they have, Rivercats being the AAA team for the Giants. So with all of that, Kevin, and anything else you want to consider, who has a good opportunity ahead of themselves for this week that we should be taking advantage of?
I'm sticking with the Giants there, where you went for some speed with Drew Gilbert, who has been leading off versus righties for a while now. And San Francisco faces 6 out of 7 right-handed starting pitchers this week. At least that's how they line up currently. So run scored, maybe boost the batting average a little. Well, not hurt the batting average too much. He is hitting a little lower an average than we were used to him most stops in the minors, down around the 240 range so far with San Francisco. But, yeah, run scored for sure at the top of the lineup, only striking out It's been a triple A for a stint 2 years ago. The only time he's struck out over 20%, and he's maintaining that at the major league level as well. So the on-base percentage will be there for those leagues, OBP leagues, and that does leading off six games this week. Probably a lot of runs scored, even with the Giants floundering offense as of late.
With the I mean, again, at this point, you gotta ride as many coattails as you possibly can. We talked about Tristan Peters as an option, Gasper as well. I'm gonna put Connor Norby in that same boat, especially Colorado being at home, even just six, not seven, but they're all in Colorado. He's been on a pretty big tear for the Rockies, playing every day at second base for them in the recent in recent days, and we would expect him to keep that role through the at least the majority, if not the entirety, of next week. So go ahead. He's still available in a majority of leagues, more than 50% of your main events, and obviously in about 91% of online championships. Going to give you a little bit of everything while he plays in Colorado. Doesn't have a long history of a lot of power, but can, keep you afloat across the board, especially given the everyday playing time. And doesn't have no speed. I hate double negatives, but I used one right there. So yeah, Connor Norby should be available everywhere.
I think that's pretty safe, even if Hunter Goodwin needs to DH a game or two, because they need Willie Castro at third base right now. So I think that Connor Norby playing time is fairly safe.
All right. So with that, Kevin, we got to talk some pitchers. But before we do that, we are going to take another break. All right, we got some wins and we need some strikeouts to pad our leads or climb the ladder. We talked about Eric Lauer a little bit earlier. He's obviously on this list, but who else you got?
Eric Lauer, for certain, especially if we hear any news over the weekend that he may be backing up Ohtani on Tuesday. Zach Thornton, nearly universally rostered in 15s, but available in about a quarter of 12-team online championships. And Shane Drohan, more availability in 12s and a little more in 15s as well. 78% rostered in the 15s, 59% in the 12s. The reason I chose these three pitchers is that the teams that they face this week have been absolutely horrific versus left-handed pitching over the past 3 weeks. Zach Thornton gets the San Francisco Giants next weekend. They haven't been hitting righties or lefties, but definitely have been bad versus lefties. Let me look real quick. Lauer, we already talked about, but Drohan, his start, I was looking, comes at Cincinnati. Typically, we would run away from Great American Small Park, but Cincinnati has not been hitting lefties well at all. Reese, over the past 3 weeks, those are my favorites. For matchup plays, I'm going to bring up Cody Bradford again. He did give up three earned runs on Friday versus Milwaukee, a lineup that I think a lot of players, even that roster Bradford, probably didn't throw him out there versus Milwaukee. But he's got a decent matchup next week versus the Athletics on the road. And I saw a post not long ago. As good and as pesky as the Athletics were for a long time, they're like 11-42 since. So, not worried about the Athletics lineup, especially away from West Sacramento for Corey Bradford.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, the Athletics, especially when they play half their games away from West Sacramento, but they're also playing with 50% of their actual lineup that you would expect, with obviously Soderstrom, Kurtz, Langoliers, now Jacob Wilson,
Rooker.
Brent Rooker. Yeah, the whole that's more than half of their actual everyday lineup that they've been out, they've been missing for quite some time, and aren't expected to get any of them back for the rest of the season as well. But yeah. All right. Well, with, you know, padding those totals, those counting stats, you're going to have to do something to help those ratios, because those are not safe bets. Of course, at this time of year, it's hard to find those. So if you're going to help your ratios, to pad them against the blowups that you could get from chasing wins and strikeouts, who might you get to do that?
Well, Will Dion is listed as the starting pitcher for the Washington Nationals coming up on the first game that they play this week. And then he's still listed, at least on RotoWire, in that spot next weekend. He has went 4 1/3 innings in his longest outing of the year through 64 pitches. In four of his last five outings out of the bullpen, he's pitched at least 2 2/3, and 3 2 of them, and that 4 1/3 in the other. And he's just not giving up hits or runs until his most recent outing versus Colorado on the road, ironically. But he got it out of his system. I think we see him go right back to what he had been doing previous appearances, not walking many, giving up very few hits as well. And he has gotten up to 4 1/3. So I put him in ratios because he's got an ERA barely over 3, a whip at 1.12, and he's going to get more innings than other relievers that we typically look at. But he could sneak in 5 innings here and may qualify for a win in one of these two starts this week as well.
There you go. Yeah, anytime you can find somebody that has a possibility of sneaking in for one of those volume categories, it doesn't hurt. Even if you are leading your league and you can't, it's always nice to kind of pad, even if by accident. All right, well, speaking of padding, counting stats, we got one more stat that we need to count, and that is the saves category, Kevin. We talked about Cal Fauché as being an obvious name out there for Miami, with Fairbanks being out there. Is there anybody else that might still be available? That actually, you know what? Before you give me that name, I have a question for you, because there's something I want to know if you think this is going to happen. Kenley Jansen got a save finally again on Tuesday. Does he hit? Was it 400? That's his target by the end of the year. I think he needs like 7 more throughout the month of September for the Tigers. Do you think he gets there?
Probably not. 7 in a month's tough for anybody. That's over 40 in a season.
I know.
It's possible, but it'll be tough.
Yeah, he's got 493 in the books right now. I don't think he got a save today. So does need the 7 in about 4.5 weeks to go. Anyway, he's not available, but who might be that you're looking to get 7 saves out of between now and the end of the season?
Maybe Justin Martinez. We haven't seen him with the save opportunity yet, but he came back and he did get the win on Tuesday through 17 pitches, and then did not pitch on Wednesday when the other two in the mix for saves in Arizona, Garcia got the hold, Brandon Garcia and Juan Marullo did get the save. But I think with Martinez being fresh back and throwing 17 pitches, he was probably unavailable on Wednesday. I think he's the guy they want to save for the ninth, not guaranteed. He is 60% rostered in 15, so that is what a lot of main event players were thinking last weekend before he came back. So, but I think after Fauché, he's probably the most available guy that we can expect at least a share of the saves going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I like Justin Martinez a lot. I was talking to Rick Graham in the Discord about that as well when he didn't get that opportunity. And Rick said exactly what you suggested, whether or not he questions whether or not Arizona wants
to. I was like, when somebody as smart as Rick backing me up.
Yeah. So, I mean, they are, let's see, Arizona is up 6-5 in the fifth as we're recording this. So we'll see if that holds. And, you know, Martinez should get into the game and maybe get that save opportunity now, but they've got the doubleheader on Saturday as well. So, we'll see how he gets used, and he'll get used in one of those games. If he gets used today and he still doesn't get into either one of the doubleheader games, then that's a clear indication that they're probably just going to slow play him the rest. I would expect them to play slow play him the rest of the season, or the regular season. Unless they're desperate in a situation where they have to throw him out there. So, play kids gloves with Justin Martinez, at least for this year, but I think for next year, I agree that that is the guy that Arizona, they've already signed him. He's already getting paid. I think they want him to be closing out games as long as his body will allow it. Wild card would normally be where we end this, Kevin. You already talked about your pick, but is there anything else you want to say about them?
I don't think so. The reason he's a wild card doesn't fit in any category. I cannot put him in a lineup this week, I don't believe, but he is somebody that I think could have a little bit of value in September if this playing time holds.
Yeah. And that's Shea Whitcomb, of course, as we talked about earlier.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I not say his name?
I didn't either. So that's why I'm just throwing it out there. Well, dang. All right. Like you said, Kevin, four more fab periods to go. Gotta use every dollar. You can't take it with you. So just keep that in mind as well. If you happen to be one of those that still has triple digit money left over, if there is somebody that can really help you out, don't worry about, oh man, I can't believe I'm going to spend this much money on that guy. If he's helping your roster, spend the money. Simple as that. If you're in a situation where you can spend some extra money to stop your opponents, then do that as well. Like, use your money. That's going to be the best way to help your team. You can't take it with you, but, with that in mind, anything else, Kevin, close us out here with any other added pieces of wisdom that we can take into one of our final fab periods of the 2026 season.
Oh, that's perfect. That plays right into what I was going to say. You know, we've been talking about this for a majority of the past 23 weeks now. We've pretty much covered everything, and our listeners don't need told how to play fantasy baseball, but it is nice to be reminded of things once in a while. And yeah, like you said, spend the money. All the little things add up to a big thing. Make a checklist if you need to, so that you don't forget that there's something you plan to do one of these last 4 weeks of the season. If you have taken my advice, which is actually Jenny Butler's advice, and you have a notebook, go look at what you wrote in it the last month of the season last year. There's something you are forgetting that you decided last season you were going to change about your stretch run, but you've forgotten. Go check it out. See what that was. If you don't have a notebook, try to think back. What mistakes did I make last year at this time? And just keep fighting down the stretch.
There you go. Just keep going. It's not that other sports season until
if you're listening to us this weekend and not participating in a draft of another sport, you already know everything
that we're talking about, right?
You're
in a good spot. With all that, thank you very much for listening, especially this deep into the season, our final August episode of the 2026 season. That is going to wrap it up for episode 265 of On the Wire. I am Adam Howe. On behalf of Kevin Hastings, thanks for listening, and we bid you goodbye.